Our scripture today, our second scripture today, is from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your names, to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Blessings to Randy and us as we listen.
Let's begin with prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for these words from Paul in the book of Romans. God, we pray for your Holy Spirit just to help us to understand what you want us to learn. And we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wanted to start off with a place where I was very encouraged in such a small, simple way. But I wanted to share that. I got something from the junior youth. Showed up in my office. Nice little card here. It was a Thanksgiving blessing for their pastor. And it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Happy Thanksgiving, the junior youth class. Thank you, junior youth, for giving me that blessing and that word of encouragement that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And that's a good word for us to wake up to every morning. Well, I was thinking about this upcoming Wednesday community night and just getting excited for the opportunity to get together and fellowship, and just the sense of community that I'm experiencing right now at Whitmer Heights is very exciting. You know, it's great to have college students back from the for the Christmas break. It's crazy that that's here already, or in the next week, students will be coming back. It's so great the way our children are here and involved. And thank you, Ruth Ann, for the children's time this morning and that the children could light our candle. It's great to see fellowship happening in Sunday school class. And there's many classes happening. Velma's painting a mural with the youth. How cool is that? And the mural tells the stories of God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of our youth. So the whole point is that the mural tells our own story and what we love and how we see God at work in our own lives. It's great to see laughter and tears catching up on life with one another, you know, fiercely debating politics. You know, that's part of what I love about this church is because people just disagree so much, but they love each other still. So we're on the journey. We're on the way with God. And part of what we looked at last week, on the way, in the way of God's heart is that we need to be looking towards Jesus on the way. This centered set gospel always has us looking towards the transforming, life-giving work of God in Christ Jesus. And as long as we're on the way and we're looking towards Jesus, we can trust that we've figured out at least one thing right. We're looking towards Jesus. And specifically this morning, on the way, we're going to ask, what does it mean to be on the way, in the way, of specifically God's heart? And I love some of the songs this morning of naming God's heart and God's love for us. Why does the Advent materials emphasize God's heart? I find that intriguing. I like it. I find it intriguing though, that they emphasize God's heart. What do they want us to get at of focusing on God's heart? You know, it's interesting in my work as a chaplain. Sometimes I will get up onto the cardiac units. And one of the big things that chaplains do is we're looking at patients' wishes, and especially near the end of life. One of the biggest questions at end of life is a do not resuscitate order. And I've learned something as a chaplain in my 4 years at LGH. Cardiac doctors, and especially cardiac surgeons, don't mess with the heart. They take their work so seriously, and rightly so. The heart is everything for the life of the person. And oftentimes in these patients' wishes, they might have that their wishes are do not resuscitate. But the cardiac surgeons maybe just did a very intense bypass surgery, and they don't want to hear anything about DNR. We're going to save this person. And it can get a little bit intense sometimes and conflictual, because you really need to respect the patient's wishes. But regardless of whether it's right or wrong, the point is, the cardiac thoracic surgeons want to see this person live. And they know that the heart is so important in that. And I did a little bit of research on the heart. It is indeed the most critical muscle in our bodies. It's what keeps us alive. It ticks 24/7. Every single day, the heart, right now in each of us, the heart beats about 100,000 times each day. 100,000 times each day. Do the math. That's at least one beat every second, or 60 to 100 times a minute. And according to the American Heart Association, for people whose heart rate is closer to 60 beats per minute, that's about 86,000 times a day. And it's 144,000 times a day if your heart rate is closer to 100 beats per minute. It's basically like a giant pump. It pumps about 2,000 gallons of blood daily. Our bodies have about 5 quarts of blood, but those 5 quarts of blood, for as much as they're getting pumped, is equal to about 2,000 gallons. Point in case, the heart is extremely powerful. It endures. It doesn't give up. It just keeps going. But there's another aspect to the heart, beyond just being such a powerful organ, is that the heart grabs us at this level of emotion and desire. It grabs our deepest loves. And there's a called Desiring the Kingdom by James K. Smith. And he says, we need to move from the mind to the heart. The mind often just stays at this head knowledge level of facts and information. And he's encouraging us to move more to the heart, where we think about our deepest desires and loves. Because he suggests that most of our life, in the things that we end up giving so much to, in our work or in the activities that we engage in or the things that we love, like Penn State winning last night, it grabs us at the heart level. It grabs our emotions. It gets us intrigued and intense and passionate. And basically what he's saying is that you can get that passionate and excited at the heart level when Penn State wins. There's got to be a way to get that impassioned at the heart level for being a part of the kingdom of God. It's more about the heart than the head. And so I'm intrigued that in our Advent now, we're encouraged to follow in the way of God's heart. 2 weeks ago, Daryl Hostetter was here, and Daryl attends James Street. But when he was telling me a little bit about his sermon, I just thought it was fantastic, the things that he was saying. The first thing is just this posture of receiving God's love. And I think that that's really getting at the heart of the heart. In that, I mean, you look at Daryl's life, this man is involved in incredible ministries. He's in the prison, he's in working with the refugees in Lancaster, and he volunteers an incredible amount of time. And I say, Daryl, how do you have the strength and energy to extend yourself with the most vulnerable people in Lancaster? And he says, I just need to receive the love of God and just receive, receive, receive before I can extend that out. He experiences the love of God, the love of God's heart in his life. And this morning, we have this text in Romans that helps us to understand what it means to walk in the way of God's heart, what it means to walk in a way of receiving God's love. And there's a couple things in the beginning of this text that stand out to me. Verse 5 stands out to me. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another. Steadfastness and encouragement. Well, when I saw the word steadfastness, here's a definition. Fixed in direction, steadily directed, firm in purpose, resolution, unwavering, firmly fixed in place or position. Well, what did I... First thing I thought, well, that's what the heart does. The heart, as the most powerful muscle in our body, unwavering, just keeps pumping blood. The most powerful thing, and this is the incredible thing, God created this. And I think we just get a small picture here in our limited capacity to understand the incredible nature of God and the character of God. We see here that God's character is steadfastness. God is so deeply fixed on the purpose of reconciliation and love for us. And that's really the heart of all of salvation history, is that even though humanity and God's creation keeps continually messing up and sin, not following the commands to love our neighbor, not following in the commands to love the least of these, not following in the commands to love our Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, that even in the midst of our sin, and as we did the confessing and reconciling, basically what we named there, that God just keeps reaching out, reaching out, reaching out, and grabbing us and saying, I'm not giving up on you. That's basically the whole story of Israel. They just keep messing up, and God just keeps saying, I'm not giving up. He's steadily directed, fixed in direction, firm in purpose, unwavering, to the point of sending Jesus for the salvation of the world, which is what we celebrate in Advent. And so that word sticks out to me. And encouragement. To me, the word encouragement is a heart-level word. It's not as much a head-level word, but this word of encouragement, of that being the character of God, of an encouraging God. And it's so easy sometimes, I think, to have an image of God of, I messed up again. Sorry, God. And yes, we need to ask for forgiveness. But I don't see, when I read this text, I don't see this image of God being, I just can't believe you messed up again. But it's this word of encouragement of, I still love you. You're still my creation. And I still have a great purpose for your life. And so for all of us this morning, let's start with these words of the character of God and just receive this. That we have a God in steadfast love for us and encouragement. That whatever you're walking through right now, this God wants to encourage you in your walk and say, I haven't given up on you and I still love you and I want to encourage you this morning. And this whole context of this Romans passage is relationship, really. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. And specifically relationship with one another between Jews and Gentiles. That's the whole thing. That no longer is there this division between Jew and Gentile. Paul depicts in many different passages, just one being one of them, that the Gentiles can now join in their praise to the people of Israel. We must remember that this division between Jew and Gentile had been established in Scripture. It had deep theological significance. When we read the Old Testament texts, we can understand why a Gentile would feel like it's difficult to be a part of this family of God. And we can also understand, if you're a faithful follower of the Jewish Torah, why it can be hard to understand now how these Gentile folks are coming into the family of God. We can try to understand how each side is figuring this out. And yet here we have the very clear picture that it's because of God's enduring love, steadfast love, and encouragement in Jesus that these relationships are possible. The manifestation of God coming to earth in Jesus is not just for the celebration of the Jews. And it's not just for the celebration of the Gentiles. But the celebration of the Jews and the Gentiles together. And in this context, a welcome of Jew and Gentile to worship really is truly an act of worship because it points to Jesus Christ as the way that they're able to come together. Romans 15 shows us that it takes the whole community, Jew and Gentile, working together to be a reflection of Christ. I think that this is really important to name, that in our extension of relationship with the other person, that the way we are able to engage and have relationship and have unity is because we are first united in our love of God in Jesus. And that this gift of Advent of God with us that we're walking towards brings us together in relationship. It doesn't separate us. We can only continue to extend relationship to one another, to be vulnerable in our differences, to be vulnerable in getting to know people who are different than us, because it's what Christ Jesus did for us in bringing us together. If we can first receive that, we can be able to extend it to others. It's God's heart for us. God's love for us. The embodiment of God's heart is in Jesus. And in Jesus we see love. That is the cornerstone of extending love to one another. And then let's go back to this text. And I absolutely love the ending of this text in Romans. In 12 it says, and again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. We have this word of hope still coming up. And that's the Advent theme of hope, Trish, that you named in the singing this morning. This word of hope. We need hope. We need encouragement. We need hope. I know that right now a lot of us are experiencing different things in our lives. Really unimaginable things for some of us. And the thing is, as a family of faith here, when one person experiences unimaginable, difficult journeys, we all, in a sense, are affected by that because we love one another. And we want to share that hope with one another. And so this morning, Whitmer Heights, may we have hope that God's heart is with us. That the root of Jesse in Jesus is here. Let us have hope. And in verse 13 it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's maybe hard right now to hope if you're experiencing unimaginable crisis. And I'm not going to pretend that I know what your experience is. I don't. But the word here this morning for all of us is that even in our unimaginable journey that we might be walking, God is still there. And that our beginning and our end is in the enduring love of Christ Jesus. Exactly the word of hope that the junior youth gave, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That's the word of hope this morning. There's a book that Dave Swartley gave to me. And right now Dave's, you know, recovering from double knee surgery, so we can be remembering him as well. But there's something that just really hit me, and I thought it just really applies to this posture of God's heart. God's heart, this and this idea of hope. But it's called Tattoos on the Heart by Gregory Boyle. And this Gregory Boyle worked... He's a Jesuit priest, and he lived in Los Angeles in one of the most gang-populated communities in L.A., and just has really incredible stories of God's faithfulness in the midst of really difficult gang violence. He tells a story of going to a community outside of L.A., and he was going to do Mass. He was going to do communion for this community. And the language dialect was a little off. He knows some Spanish. There was a little bit of a different dialect here. And basically what he names is just, he felt like he completely bombed the Mass. And he was feeling so vulnerable and worthless. And he says he's just standing alone there. Everyone has left. And he's just feeling so vulnerable. Like, I just totally messed this up. Such a holy spiritual practice. And he says in that moment, this older man, he calls him a campesino, comes up to him. He says he just has wrinkles everywhere. He's just... comes to him with weary eyes, and he says, Tatai, gracias por haber venido, which means, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. He says, before I can speak, the old campesino reaches into the pockets of his suit coat, and he retrieves two fistfuls of multicolored rose petals. He's on the tips of his toes, and gestures that I might assist with the inclination of my head. He asked Greg Boyle, Father Boyle, to put his head down. You can kind of just see the image of this, how powerful this image is. Greg putting his head down in his shame and vulnerability. And he drops the petals over my head, and I'm without words. He digs into his pockets again and manages two more fistfuls of petals. He does this again and again. And the store of red, pink, and yellow rose petals seems infinite. I just stand there and let him do this, staring at my own hands, now moistened with my tears, covered with rose petals. Finally, he takes his leave, and I'm left there alone, only with the bright aroma of roses. For all the many times that he would return to that site and see the same villagers over and over, he never saw this old campesino again. And he says, God, who is greater than any, like this old campesino, has only one thing on God's mind, and that is to drop endlessly rose petals on our heads. What a beautiful image of receiving God's love. The heart of God. We're going to have a response song here. And it's Lohauer Rose. And I want us to pay attention to some of the words in this song. It really fits well with this text. It says, Isaiah foretold it, the rose I have in mind. Mary, we behold it, the virgin mother kind. To show God's love aright, she bore to us a Savior. That's the heart of it. To show God's love, Jesus was born. To show God's love aright, she bore to us a Savior. And so in this season of Advent, as we're on the way, in the way, looking towards Jesus, in the way of God's heart, we have this invitation to first receive. Receive the love of God in Christ Jesus. Receive the rose petals being over us. Let us pray. Loving God, just as a tree is deeply rooted in soil, send our roots deep into the soil of your marvelous love. Grant us the power, God, here at Whitmer Heights, to understand its scope, its width, length, height, and depth. Help us to just receive your love. And Lord, as we experience your love and your heart for us, please give us that same love for others, that same heart for others. May we be people of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.